Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Redemption Church. Hey everyone. Once a season, Redemption has what we call Story Sundays, where we pick a few people and ask them to share stories of how they've seen God at work lately. In this episode, you'll hear from me, Susan Alloway, and our friends Paul Clements and Gwen Rapp. Happy listening. Last year, Gary and I highly considered having baby number 3. There were a couple pregnancy scares that really got us thinking, and though we weren't really looking forward to diapers and bottles and sleepless nights again, our hearts felt like they had room. Room for something. And so we actually considered adopting. It's something that we've considered a lot over the years and looked into on numerous occasions. And often when we were thinking about it, I felt pulled to adopt older kids or even 2 or 3 siblings at once, which logically sounded completely absurd even to me because I'm not actually a kid person. But we never pushed the go button, and it just never seemed quite right. So when 2020 started, so did the pandemic, and because of COVID-19, Augie's kindergarten year, our son, his kindergarten year ground to a halt. And so we started homeschooling, and then when the school year was over, we planned a big, I planned a big kindergarten graduation ceremony in our backyard with a stage and a sound system and the caps and gowns and the whole shebang, with less than 25 people, of course. But before the ceremony started, that's when this whole bunch of neighborhood kids rode by on their bikes. And seeing the sound system and the little stage, the kids stopped to ask what was going on. And if I'm honest, they've never really left. Unbeknownst to Gary and me, in the past year, several new families had moved onto our back street. And between them all, there are upwards of 10 kids ranging from age 4 to age 14. But most often, it's 5 kids from 2 families that show up at our door. My favorite is Aston. He's 10, and he's quiet, and he's very skinny. But he's good at talking to adults, and he's the one that comes over the most often. He has watched hockey with us, and he has helped us mow the grass and cook food. He has walked to the library with us and played Monopoly with me and Augie. And though I know his siblings and I've met his mom, I really have no idea what his actual family story is or why in the world these kids are allowed to just wander to our house all the time. We've only known them for a few months and I'm not their mom, but I find myself constantly asking Aston and his brother and sister what they ate that day and shoving bananas in their face. I'm not their mom, but I know the sound of his brother's voice when he yells from 2 blocks away at 10 o'clock at night. And I'm not their mom, but I worry. And I wonder what sort of trouble they're getting into when they're not at our house. Now, it would be fun to give you the impression that we love having them around all the time and that we've never gotten overwhelmed by their noise or yelled at them for rolling my hamster in the yoga mat and throwing it across the room. But that would not be the whole truth. If I'm honest, they're exhausting a lot of the time, and I often find myself being super grumpy when they're around because I'm so stressed out by their chaos. And it makes me feel sad and convicted because, if I'm really honest, I actually feel love for them. And I know that through them, God is kicking my butt, reminding me that what's important in life isn't what I accomplished that day, but who I care for, who I loved. If you've been around Redemption for very long, you've probably heard me or Gary talk about the fact that the purpose of marriage isn't happiness, it's sanctification. It's like two rocks grating against one another until they are smooth, until they are better than they were alone. Well, that's what having kids is as well. It shows you just how selfish you are. And in this season, it is showing me exactly where I'm selfish, where I'm not generous with my time, with my possessions, with my love, and where I don't know how to create good boundaries, and I'm not perfect at forethought, and where I'm too addicted to control. I hope that I can eventually create a welcoming and safe and restful space for these kids who might not get it elsewhere. But as I head in that direction, they are definitely grinding my rough edges down. So we didn't have a third kid this year. And I'm grateful. I think God knew that this season was going to be filled with more kids than we'd ever imagined. And that the room that we had in our hearts would be filled. Thank you.
Hello, church. So, the past 8.5 months, eight months, been pretty crazy. My wife and I found out we're having our first child, as most of you know. When we found out, I was working at Wood Services, working with children with disabilities, and directing an organization, housing the homeless in Bucks County. And I think I found my identity in that, probably a little bit more than I should have. So when we had the news that our child was coming, it was obvious that I was going to have to make a change because, I mean, no disrespect to anyone who's in nonprofit work, but sometimes it doesn't work, you know, for you. So I ended up getting a job at U-Haul. And I thought, okay, well, this is a good path. You know, the potential to support my family with this is decent. And I thought, okay, well, my new ministry is at home. I'll take care of my son. I'll take care of my wife. And I'll just serve the best I can at U-Haul. And that'll be it. And as I began working at U-Haul, I started to notice something about the people who are coming in the door. The people who are coming in. Now, moving is probably, I think it's what, the third most stressful thing you can do. And they're either really happy to be moving, or they're really, really, really irritated because something's happened to ruin their day. And you know, that kind of irritates you at first because it's like, well, I'm just here doing my job. You don't have to be mad at me, you know. Like, what did I do to you? Absolutely nothing. The fact is they're dealing with something and they're broken inside for some reason. And so I just thought of like Jesus on the cross there. I thought, you know what? Obviously, which for whatever reason I missed, the kingdom of God is far more expansive than any nonprofit organization, than any place you think, oh, well, I can serve the Lord if I'm a missionary. I can serve the Lord if I'm, you know, in this place with these people who are marginalized, put down, broken, you know, obviously because they're in a place where they need assistance. But the fact of the matter is every single one of us needs assistance, which gives us the opportunity in everyday life, everywhere we go, everyone we meet, to be Jesus, to be a missionary in the world. Look at Paul. Paul built tents. You know, he said that I don't take away from what you guys have. I'll work for myself. I'll raise my own money. Like, it wasn't about the identity for him. It was about what he was doing for the Lord, because the Lord had changed his life so drastically. Just one story. I don't want to take too long, but so the situation we're in right now in our society is rough. We have a lot of social issues that are coming to a head. And so I hope I say this in a humble manner, but so sometimes African Americans come in the store, they see me, I'm a big white guy. You immediately think something about me. You kind of associate with me with something, which most of you know isn't true. But either way, it's like, okay, now I got to deal with this guy. And now not only are they dealing with a bad move, but they're dealing with this idea that they now have to deal with somebody who might not actually like them or might actually have something against who they are, I guess. And man, to give them Jesus in that moment, to try to give them Jesus, to sit there and listen, to try to be their friend, it turns the entire world upside down. And that person who came in acting like you had three heads and they were all dragons about to tear their guts out, and becomes your friend, becomes somebody who's joking around with you, you can build a relationship with, and maybe eventually tell about Jesus. So for anybody who thinks that the mission field is confined to, you know, an institution, just remember that Jesus came for all, and all are sick and broken in need of him. That's it.
Um, 2020 has been a lot of things, but for me, it's primarily been one of invitation. If I've learned anything this year, it's that when you ask God to show you his heart and are committed to following his invitations, you can be very surprised at the place you find yourself. About this time last year, I felt this growing restlessness in my spirit that I just couldn't shake. I have a very rewarding, purposeful job. I have a rich community here, and really I feel blessed on every level. And yet I sat with this restlessness and I began to identify that, you know, the redemptive community development work that I do with Redemption and with other organizations, just had this desire for it rather to be something I can do on the side, and, you know, outside of working my spare time. I wanted this to be the main thing, to really center my days around, you know, gospel-centered disciple-making work that also seeks to really love and care for the whole person. So I asked God, can we explore this? And where are you in this? And I started on this journey. Me, open-handed, without a clue where this might lead, and God whispering my spirit to wait on him, and even as we were seeking what this path might be, to really look for him to reveal his heart in it. So I started exploring, looked at, you know, opportunities and nonprofits in Philadelphia. I looked right here in Bristol. I started talking to my just mentor figures in my life, just spent a lot of time sitting aside to pray and just discern and listen to God. And, you know, I considered over the next several months just different job options that came by, you know, volunteer opportunities, different things. And, you know, each time I'm, you know, sitting talking with the individual or, you know, thinking about an interview, and just felt like the Spirit was saying, this isn't it, just wait. Until December came around, I found myself in a casual coffee meeting with a Karen partner, learning about their ministry work among a population of people in America that, to be honest, I hadn't thought much about. The Inn, as this initiative of World Team is called, does gospel-centered ministry work among refugee and immigrant communities in America, really seeking to care for, you know, both their physical needs and their spiritual needs, and to love them as Jesus would. And America plays host to many thousands of immigrant and refugee communities who face very significant challenges to making a home and a future in our country. Many of them have found themselves in America having endured horrific trauma, loss, and having been driven from their homelands to our country. And many of them come from spiritually dark places. And even as I sat in this coffee shop, I felt the Spirit saying, explore this, take the next step. And to be honest, I wrestled. I have issues with ways the Western Church has approached missions and ministry over the course of time. And like many of you, I have been seeking to reconcile both personally and communally our active and passive complicity in issues of race and white saviorism that plague our country as well as the church. So a Bucks County-based mission agency with evangelical roots was not the type of organization I was looking to hook up with. But if you recall what I said at the beginning, I mentioned that part of God's invitation to me was to look for him to reveal his heart, even in my search for my path. And what he has really shown me is that the world is chock full of people in every corner who need and are longing for the love that Jesus brings and his peace. He loves all people deeply, indiscriminate of race, neighborhood, background, or any descriptor. And you know, he's at work in every place, whispering to hearts and inviting people to return to him for healing and wholeness. There's not one or another community which I should serve, or one community that is more lost than another or more worthy of focus. As God has invited me to learn more about these international communities in our urban backyards, I've sensed God's deep desire and care for them. I've found my own heart growing in compassion and love for these strangers, and in very specific invitation of God to my own heart to be a messenger of friendship, love, and peace. So today, I find myself moving to live and move and serve among communities of people that weren't even on my radar this time last year. I'm joining the Inn as the team leader to help start a ministry of the Inn in Philadelphia. And prayerfully, I'll be starting with them in January, though I'll be able to be based here in Bristol for a while, which is awesome. Some of you have walked with me during this journey over the past year and are familiar with the Inn. And for others of you, this is the first time you're hearing me share about it. And as my spiritual family, I want to invite you along with me on this journey. And frankly, I can't do any of this alone. This first year is going to be neat. It's going to look a lot like the first year that we did with the Zoe Project a few years back. It's going to be really a season of prayer and discernment and relationship building among these potential communities that we might serve among and looking for where is God already at work and what are his invitations for us to love and serve these neighbors well. We're going to need a lot of prayer. We're going to need, and I'm going to need support for, you know, for those who want to come down and do a prayer walk with me, or who want to, you know, go and visit the resettlement agency and learn more about, you know, what is it that they do and the unique needs of the these communities. And I'm going to need people who are willing to back me, both just relationally as I navigate this my own learning journey along this, but who will also help, you know, fund and get me to the place where I can start with this ministry and to, you know, help think through what it would look like to support, you know, and get the ministries going that we're looking for God to reveal and paint a vision for down the road. While I'm confident in God's leading to this ministry full time, my desire is not to do this alone. So, you know, as I talk and as I continue to just dialogue more about this, as God sparks stuff in you, an interest in one aspect or feeling leading to pray, I'd love to talk further. And I'd also just invite, you know, if you find yourself in a similar place of searching and of looking for God, what is my invitation for the season? It is always nice to have another journeyman who just sit down and walk through it with you. And you know, I've been blessed to have those in my own life, and so my invitation and my offering to this community is a willingness to be a journeyman with others here who are in that same space. Our God, he continues to be at work in the world, offering hope and peace, inviting his people to be messengers of the same. So I ask for your prayers for courage as I lean into God's invitation for me in this next season. And I also, on the flip side, invite you to consider what unique invitation that God has for you in this season. Thank you.
All right. So yeah, we are super excited, specifically with this calling Gwen has to help get this project started down in Philadelphia. My head's cut off. And I've already tasked Gwen to let us know how we can help, how we can serve, how we can partner, how we can be helping her get this thing up and running. Some exciting news. We've always loved mission, specifically as part of our budget. Like, we like to give our money away. That's something we get to do. We've never had our own missionary, but we are going to start supporting Gwen $75 a month as a community to help get this up and running. So that's really cool. Yeah. So, hey. And, yeah. And like she said, she is hoping to be full-time with this in January. So if any of you personally feel the calling to support Gwen, you should do that. I'll just leave it at that. You should do that. Talk to Gwen, figure out exactly how to do that. But it is good. As Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The things we give to God then lays burdens on us for, to pray for, to be involved in. So we are excited for that. One thing we try and intentionally do with Story Sunday is pick different types of stories. If you didn't pick that up, we have with Gwen a story of working with a mission agency full-time, which is really exciting. With Paul, a story of the marketplace and finding God in the marketplace at U-Haul. And with Susan, the story of God at work on our block. And we do that very intentionally because we really believe that God is everywhere. And no matter how you're called, whether it is to some sort of professional ministry or whether it's just to walk on your block, there is fruitful work to be done in the kingdom of God. And all we need is eyes to see and ears to hear for that. So I want to give you guys a couple minutes to think yourself. Where have you seen God in your life recently? We just heard three stories, but what has God been up to in your life? It might be one thing God has been teaching you. It might be one way you've been connecting with God recently. Or it might be one story of something God has been up to, something cool that God has done. If you spend a couple minutes and you pray and you don't have that, I invite you to ask God boldly. Ask God to show you. Ask God to show you where he's already at work in your life. Lord, we thank you that you have been with us. We give you praise for the things you have done in our midst these last few months, Lord. In a time when it'd be easy to just kind of shut things down, you remind us that you are in everything. And all seasons are opportunities to see you at work, to see growth in you, to see your spirit move. So, Lord, we thank you in advance for when we do this again in a couple months, and we will get to sell stories of praise for the things you will do over these next couple months. And, Lord, we pray that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear, so we would have our eyes open to all the ways you are at work, and we could rejoice and celebrate at the partnership we get to have in you. Help us, Lord, to not only take note of these things, but share them with one another, to remember that the word of our testimony has power. And then it matters. Help us to know that you are alive in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
To find out more about Redemption Church, visit redemptionbristol.org.